Fallon, Fairview Heights, and they got here, and I'm glad that they're here with us this evening. Mark chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf." And when we're saying loaf here, we're not speaking of a loaf of Wonder Bread. We're talking about a tortilla, a little piece of pita bread, just one little piece of bread. That's all they had. And verse 15 says, "And Jesus charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Don't you understand? Have you yet your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, 12. "And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand?" I would just like to speak to you on these three words. Remember the miracle. Remember the miracle. Father, we pray that right now you'd speak into every life by the power of your word. I ask, Lord, that you administer to us, talk to us, and have your mighty way, O God. Do a work, Lord, that only you can picture right now. God, let it be accomplished. We'll thank you for it, for your goodness. It's everlasting. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For a long time, I've enjoyed photography. All of my life, as far back as I can remember, I had a camera close at hand somewhere. And to me, the greatest thing about my photos is not necessarily the beauty of the scene. That's not necessarily it's not the technique. It's not the settings used with the equipment. And I've got many thousands of photos. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with all of them. I may will them to you someday. But these are some in color, some are in black and white, but these are of people and places and things that are most important to me. But I suppose the most important fact about these photos is that each one represents a small slice of time. Just a fraction of a second. I love that about the fact that I can look at my camera and I'm holding in my hand a little time machine. Just with a click of the shutter, years later, I can go back in my mind and in memory because I have a split second frozen in time and turned that photo into a memory. And so when I go back to a picture that I took 10, 20, 30 years ago, I can still see where I was standing at the moment. I can still hear the sounds and smell the scent of the place. I can hear and I can remember the voices of people who are dead and gone now. Think about it. I can take a trip to a faraway place. I can remember a friend, a loved one, a favorite dog, a church service, or maybe a song. You see, the human mind is a wonderful thing. It's quite a piece of equipment. I watched my little granddaughter a few days ago. Oh, grandkids. Now that we brought that up, let's talk a while. Got three of those little miracles now, and oh, it's wonderful. But I watched her the other day as she took out her sticker book and she began to tell herself a story about Nemo. And Nemo would get in terrible predicaments. She would stick him right in front of the shark and then, oh, Nemo. And she would come to Nemo's rescue and save him. She said, "I save you, Nemo." It was a wonderful thing to enjoy. Elena came to the rescue over and over and over and over again. She saved Nemo from catastrophe one time after another. And I thought how great the gift of imagination is. What a great gift. What a great gift memory is. Memory is real. Memory is powerful. And it's a sad thing when the ability to remember, in some cases, begins to slip away. Some days, Memory is sharp. You remember something you haven't thought of in years. And then the next day it's gone. Many times as I'm preaching or as I'm teaching, I will find that one detail leads my mind to another detail and another story and another event and another Bible passage, and one testimony of the goodness of the Lord leads me to another testimony, and one illustration leads me to another one, and memories of old miracles help me to understand the ability of God to continually perform new miracles. You see what I'm saying right now? Hallelujah. And I find myself at this stage of my life, I find myself starting so many conversations and so many thoughts. I start them with the words, I remember. When I walk in this room, when I drive up to this building, I have so many memories that flood my mind. And I begin to think back what this room looked like. The first time I saw it, didn't look like this. I looked in here and I thought, if this is the way it's got to be, I don't want this building. But we needed space. Sister Kathy said a little while ago, she said, I know the Lord's got another building for us. He had this one. And when He's ready, He'll give us more room, and I believe He will. But I began to think about all of the details, all of the little details of the building, and how we raised this ceiling in here, and how we decorated, and how we worked and covered up, and oh, you wouldn't believe what we covered up in this building. But our scripture text that I just read to you a few minutes ago starts out with the statement, now the disciples had forgotten. How many times do we forget to retain with us what God one time provided for us? Jesus and the disciples were going to sea. They were preparing for a journey. They were packing their gear. I don't know what all went into the boat that day. Maybe they began to check the list. Fishing tackle, check. Got that. Ropes, I've got ropes, check. Okay, we got the ropes. How about the sail? Oh, the sail is in the boat. We're okay, check. Check that off. Sunscreen, check. Got that. Got change of underwear, check. Got socks, got all of these things. Toothbrush, got it. Pillow for Jesus. He likes to take a pillow when we go for a boat ride. The Bible said that. And so they had all of these things, but nobody remembered to bring the bread. That's what the Bible said. And you might think that after they had just experienced what they had experienced, that bread might be on somebody's mind. They had just taken hands-on part in the miracle of Jesus feeding the multitude with a young boy's lunch. But nobody remembered to bring the baskets of food that were leftovers. Nobody remembered it. Could it be that because they had eaten their fill during that moment of provision, that they had forgotten that they would be needing another meal down the road before very long? You see, sometimes we're excited when the miracle is playing out. We're excited over the blessing. We're excited over what's at hand. But we fail to remember when we get just down the road a little. We fail to remember what God was doing for us right back then. Hallelujah. No sooner had they got out of sight of land than one of the disciples looked around and they noticed that something was missing. And maybe Andrew turned to John and he said, hey, did you bring the baskets of food? And he said, I thought Simon had. Who forgot? Well, everybody had forgotten it. Now the disciples had forgotten. And as they talked about this, maybe their voices got a little higher and they got a little more animated. Their emotions got a little bit more in control of them. And Jesus knew what was going on. And he said, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. Well, what about the time when I took 7 and I fed 4,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up then? They said, well, we picked up 7 baskets full. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? And Jesus rebuked them for the lack of faith. But he really came down. He really hammered them for forgetting what they'd just seen, forgetting who they had with them in the boat. Somebody needs to get a hold of this tonight. These disciples had just experienced these great miracles of provision. They had just been eyewitnesses of this feat of power and might as Jesus had taken something small and insignificant. And when he opened up his hands, a mighty feast had poured out. Bread, fish, enough to feed them. A banquet was produced from a sack lunch. Do you understand what the Lord wants us to grasp about this tonight? Jesus said, when I took that five little loaf helping, when I took that and I broke that up in the presence of 5,000 hungry men and the women and the children that were there, how many baskets did you pick up? They said, well, we picked up 12. He said, why don't you remember that now? Jesus said, how is it that you still don't understand? What is it about me? What is it about this journey that you just don't get? Hallelujah. How is it that believers can see the miraculous? We can be eyewitnesses of the miraculous. We can be recipients of the miraculous. But the very next day, we can't remember that miracle. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know, I remember a time when we were in Ghana. My wife was so very sick. And the doctors, in the best Swiss hospital in town, didn't know what to do. My dad and I took her in at midnight. That night, we put her in a broken wheelchair with one wheel and something else that looked like a wheel on the other side. And wheeled her in, and they began to do x-rays and tests, and the x-rays showed something large in her abdomen. And we were presented with choices that were not. Every choice seemed impossible. We were torn with the decision whether or not to do the surgery because we were afraid of the blood supply. We were afraid of just simply having to face something like this in Africa. And all that night and the next day, she was in agony, and I stayed there with her. And all the time that she was there in the hospital bed, writhing and twisting in pain, a steady trail of ants came in the window, down the wall, across the floor, up the IV pole, came down the tube and went up and started trying to drink the glucose as it went through the needle in her arm. We had an assembly line. She would flick them off. I would step on them. And all that next day, the doctors worked out to trying to manage her pain, trying to figure out how to treat her, whether or not she could be sent back to the U.S. for surgery. And we really didn't have options that looked good. I'll never forget that night. I laid down there on that hard tile floor beside her bed. And I prayed until finally, I drifted off to some kind of a troubled sleep. We had other missionaries that were there in the country with us. And the Freemans were staying at our house. Sister Freeman said that suddenly there in the middle of the night, the Lord woke her up with an urgency to pray for my wife. And she began to bombard heaven. She began to call out in prayer and say, Lord, you've got to touch her. She's at a crossroad. And she prayed there in our house across the city until Sister Freeman said, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to her and said, it is well. And suddenly, across the city, I heard my wife heave a big sigh and her breathing changed. And I knew she was asleep for the first time. The next morning, she was hungry. And the doctor was still saying, she needs emergency surgery, but we knew that a healing had taken place. We knew that the Lord had intervened. And finally, he agreed to order a new set of x-rays, which showed exactly what we knew that we would see, which was nothing. Hallelujah. Glory. And I would like to tell you that over the last 25 years, since that night, since that miracle, that my faith has never one time wavered. I would like to tell you that. I would like to tell you that I've never forgotten the night that we received a basket full of the miraculous. I would like to tell you that. I would like to say that I never one time have set sail on the stormy sea of life without being perfectly mindful of the presence of the Lord right there in the ship with me. I would like to tell you that. But the truth of the matter is that there have been times when I've forgotten about the Lord's provision.
There have been times when I forgot about the bread. There have been times when I forgot about the baskets full of blessings that were left behind on that shore. There have been times when yesterday's miracle was behind me, and since it was behind me, it was out of sight. And since it was out of sight, I forgot about it. Been moments when I forgot who was with me in the middle of today's storm. Hallelujah. And so, how is it that the people of God can see the miraculous, and we can be eyewitnesses of the miraculous, we can be grateful recipients of the miraculous, but the very next day, the very next valley, the very next trial that comes our way, we can't seem to remember the miracle from the day before? Jesus said, how is it that you still don't understand? What is it that you don't get? What is it that you just can't seem to grasp and retain about a miracle working God? Years ago, we were elected to come and pastor this church. It wasn't in this building at the time. We were down on Harrison Street. I remember laying in the floor at midnight on New Year's watch night service while they shot up the steeple. Blam, 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 blam. Let's pray. Welcome to Sparta. We came here, it was a small group. 16 voting members, Sister Kathy. 16 voting members. And here we were. We were young and we were broke. We were idealistic. We left Texas and moved to Sparta in the dead of winter, walking by faith, not by sight, walking by faith, no guaranteed income, no set salary, no compensation package, but we had a calling on our hearts, and we knew, believed that God was going to provide. You know, when we're young, man, we're brave. We're brave when we're young. And I'll never forget the first Saturday night of our pastorate here. An ice storm moved in. I got up, set out for the church about 7 o'clock in the morning. At that time, we lived out here by Pizza Hut, those apartments. I don't think they're even still there. Are they? And so we lived out there. I thought, well, I can get to the church in a couple minutes. I got a big, heavy Cadillac, and it'll make it. And so I got out, and it was only about a mile maybe across to the church. And I slipped and slid. It took me about an hour to get to the church. And I got there, and I tried to climb the steps up to the front door, and they were just a solid ramp of ice. There were no steps. It was just a solid block. And I couldn't get to the door even by crawling on my hands and knees. I struggled, finally gave up, went home. No service that day. I had to make like 6 or 7 calls, notify everybody. No service, no offering. And so the next weekend on Saturday, here came another ice storm. Did the same thing. And the next Saturday, and the next 4 straight Saturdays, the first 4 Saturdays of our existence here in Sparta, there were 4 straight weekends with no services, no offerings, and very little income. And I learned something, that even if we couldn't get to church, the mailman could, because the bills kept showing up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I learned something else about then. I learned that even when it seems hopeless, that God will still move in His people's lives. And faithful saints of God mailed their tithes and offerings. I'm looking at some of you tonight that did that. You mailed your tithes and your offerings in when you couldn't get to church. And we never missed a payment, and we never got evicted, and we never missed a meal. Hallelujah. And sometimes the cupboards were a little bit scary looking, but there was always fragments of the miraculous. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A few months passed and we were able to rent a little house right down the road here. Osborne Page, right on the corner, right by the bowling alley. We rented that little white house and moved in there. And one service, I gave our last $5 in the offering. I'm not saying the last $5 in my billfold. I'm saying I gave my last $5 bill. It was the last one till we got some more. And I gave it and went home. We came home from church and our... Anybody remember our Dalmatian? She was back in the backyard just when I pulled up there by the house and the drive, and she was up on the fence and she was making a racket and shaking the fence, and I thought, what is wrong? She must have a possum or something. And I walked back in the headlights of the car and she was there and she was holding a rip up $5 bill in her mouth. She was so happy and proud. It was dirty. It was all chewed up, teeth marks in it. But listen, it spent just fine when I got it to the grocery store. Hallelujah. Oh, that was some great times. Let me tell you, it was some great times. And when we were putting everything we could into ministry and it still wasn't seeming like it was enough, we would find out that Jesus was still in the ship, that he still knew exactly where we were. He knew exactly what we needed. He was always right on time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Lord began to do some work around here. Before long, we had our first convert. Tommy Brown, our waiter from Pizza Hut. Man, Tommy came and he brought Sharon. I was a little scared of Sharon. She's not here so I can talk about her. She did call and apologize. I'll never forget when she came down to the altar. I didn't know whether. Lord, just touch her. Because I wasn't sure if she was mad or if she was repenting. She was repenting. The Lord filled her with the Holy Ghost and filled Grandma Stella. And same moment he filled Grandma Stella with the Holy Ghost, he filled our daughter Lindsay with the Holy Ghost. They're 83 years old and 5 years old. Get the Holy Ghost side by side in the same altar. God knew where we were. He knew what was going on. He knew what we had need of. And he filled up that little building down the road. I remember Sundays when people were standing in the foyer. I remember Sundays when people were standing on the stairs that went down to the basement. Remember the basement? Hallelujah. You just have to go down there every Sunday and maybe catch a snake or shoo out a bat. Or you never knew what was going to be in the basement waiting for you. But hey, the people filled that little church. And then he opened the door for us to buy this one. And he gave us a miracle here and opened up opportunities. Listen, the Lord knows who you are and he knows where you are. He knows what you have need of. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And he continued to bless and he continued to help and he continued to send revival. Remember on a Wednesday night, we were on our way to church from Steelville. At that time, we were living in Steelville. We came up, coming up Route 4. And we got about halfway between the Steelville T and Shoe Line Road. And all of a sudden, that car shuddered and shook and belched up a cloud of smoke and died. I coasted off to the side of the road and raised the hood and steam shot to the sky. So we got it towed in. I don't even know if we made it to church that night. Can't remember. Got the car towed in. A man in the church was a shade tree mechanic. Shade tree. That's where we changed out the engine, under the shade tree in my drive. He volunteered. He said, if you can find an engine, I'll put it in and I won't take a dime. And it's a good thing because I didn't have a dime. And I found an engine in the junkyard. And we spent a month out there taking out the old one, putting the new one in. And it was just a junkyard engine. It blew up the first time we started it. So back to square one, I found another engine in the junkyard, and this one ran because we put a whole bunch of Vaseline in it. Not just oil, we put a quart of Vaseline in it. And it ran. And I said, don't shut it off. I'm going to go in the house and wash my hands. I'm going to drive it to St. Louis and trade it. And I did. Right across the river and traded at the first car lot. But during that time, you know, we were worrying ourselves sick. How are we going to pay for this? And my wife was keeping a careful record every penny we spent. We had to buy some parts. We had to buy some tools. We had to buy two junkyard engines. And over the course of that month, we would get cards in the mail and letters of encouragement. And people would hand us money and send us some money. And people would slip us cash here at church in a handshake, $5, $10, $20. Here it came. And finally, on the last day, as we were starting up that engine, my wife said, you know, this is amazing. With all the money that we've had to spend in this past month, we are within 50 cents of having received enough to completely pay for this car. Within 50 cents. And before that day was over, somebody dropped two quarters in my hand. And you're in this room right now. You remember. Hallelujah. Jesus said, how is it that you still don't understand? When you see time and time again, my goodness, my faithfulness, my miraculous power. Oh, listen, folks, we are bad about forgetting the miraculous from yesterday because we get so focused on the problem of today. Somebody in this room needs to look back to a time when the Lord showed Himself faithful to you. Somebody in this room, right here, right now, tonight, somebody needs to remember the time the Lord stepped in and produced a miracle for you. Hallelujah. I could start walking up and down these aisles and I could pick out one after another and I could give your testimony for you. I could tell you, I remember where you came from. I remember when you repented of your sin. I remember what the Lord delivered you from. I remember when He brought you back home. I remember those days. Hallelujah. How is it that we sometimes forget what He did then because we're focused on what's here and now? Jesus is saying to somebody today, you were there, you were present when all you had left was enough for a lunch, but I multiplied that lunch and I made it enough to feed a multitude. If you'll just put it in my hand and you'll trust me with it, if you'll just believe me, if you'll just claim my promises, I can guarantee you that God is just the same today that He's always been. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He'll be the same tomorrow, forever. Hallelujah. You can depend on Him. He didn't forget where you are. He didn't lose track of you. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows the questions that you struggle with. He knows the agony that you've been in, the mental anguish, the torment. He knows about that. Stand with me. Jesus says, you were there when I healed your body. You were there when I saved your soul. You were there when I delivered you from sickness and your body was racked with pain. You were there. Remember that stormy time in your life when you didn't know how to walk it yourself and I picked you up and carried you? Remember that? You were there. How is it that you so soon forget? Daniel, I delivered you out of that lion's den. David, I steered that rock straight into the forehead of that giant. Elijah, you were hungry, running for your life. I sent buzzards to bring you leftovers. Back to verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand? Neither have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you pick up? Oh, well, 12. How many disciples? Well, 12. There was just enough. Exactly right. On time. The proper amount. He said, How is it that you don't understand? How is it that you can't remember? Somebody needs to hear this word tonight and apply it. Take it. Receive it. You've been agonizing over how things are ever going to get sorted out in your life, and it looks so confusing. Everywhere you look is turmoil and chaos, and you don't have the answers. You've thought about giving up. You've toyed with the idea of walking away. You've been at rock bottom so long you've forgotten that God made the rock. Jesus. It's time for somebody to remember your miracle. It's time for somebody to go back. Take a trip in your mind, in your memory, and go back to where God produced the miracle for you. The disciples had forgotten. Don't feel like a failure because you've forgotten. The disciples forgot to. Writers of the book, they forgot to. So the Lord wants somebody to understand that having forgotten doesn't mean you're a failure. And if you failed, failure doesn't mean that that's final and the door's closed and there's never going to be another opportunity for a miracle in your life, because the Lord remains the miracle worker. If you're here tonight, you need something from heaven. I want you to focus your mind and your attention on the promise of God. I'm going to open this altar tonight. I just wonder how many would walk down here and say, Lord, you know, there have been times I've forgotten. There have been times I've slipped. There have been times I've made mistakes. Sometimes I've not really remembered what I should about serving you. Lord, I need your help. I need you to remind me of some miracle in my past. I need you to remind me of the night that I found my way to an altar. Remind me. Don't let me forget it. But remind me and give me fresh purpose, fresh direction to make it on this journey. The altar's open. Say, this is not our normal Wednesday night. No, it's not. It's not. But the Lord wants to talk to somebody about your miracle. He's got something for you tonight. He wants you to be reminded. He wants you to remember where He's brought you from, what He's taken you through, how He's delivered you, how He set you free, how He broke chains, gave you deliverance, help, healing, safety, whatever it is. How many would walk down here in great faith, believing that the Lord's going to produce it one more time? Come on, let's talk to Him for a while, shall we? Come on, church.